Hello everyone, this is Anke Menzler, your host for Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling. Our special guest today is Charlie Wally, and we'll be talking about imposter syndrome, label, and its impact, and how we can handle imposter syndrome. We will give some great tips and elaborate on this so that you can really take something out of that. But before Charlie and I go deep, I just want to introduce her quickly. It's our ex-global head turned life and career redesign coach, Charlie Wally. She partners with career-minded women to design a life and career they love. Together, they explore, dream, and discover the path that will light them up. We are taught that success leads to happiness, but it's actually the other way around. She knows from experience. She had reached a point in her life and career where she had it all, yet had never been so unhappy. And she found a way to do it differently, and that's why she's here with us today. She's on a mission and will tell you more about it now. Hello, Charlie, and welcome to Breakthrough the Glass Ceiling.
Hi, Anke. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure having you. And imposter syndrome is such an important topic because a lot of people tend to have it or say they have it. And I think we can clean a bit the slate for them.
I think that would be a great idea. Yeah. I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. And why? I just love to get you into everything, but can you give maybe a short idea of why you got into coaching and what's the mission that's behind that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you kindly touched on it a little bit in your introduction. So, you know, I was this global head, I was working at a senior level, but it wasn't the right path for me. And yet I felt so trapped and I didn't know where to turn. And since leaving my corporate career and training as a coach, I've uncovered all of these amazing resources, which had I had sooner in my journey, my career, I think I might have made different choices. I certainly would have felt differently as I moved through the different stages of my career. And, you know, imposter syndrome is one of these big topics because I experienced it throughout my career. And I think it's something that can come up for us all of the time, because it's very much linked to when we grow and stretch ourselves. And this is when it can appear even more, which is very challenging, because when we need to be our most confident, bold selves, that's when we can feel the most insecure and the most like an imposter.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I'm so glad that we now can really talk about this and give all the people out there a much deeper view on it. So really delving into it. So yeah. And the first question that comes to my mind is, what is imposter really?
Yeah, I think we should really just put a little explanation around what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you can look at it many ways, but essentially it's a persistent inability to believe that your success is deserved and that it's legitimate from your own efforts. And I think, you know, the way I used to put it is, have you ever felt like you didn't deserve the success you achieved? Have you ever felt like a bit of a fraud at work and you're going to be found out? Have you ever tried to say, oh no, that wasn't me, it was the team, you know, pushing away, skipping over the good results because you just can't believe that it's you. And for me, it used to manifest in any time my boss would ring me, I thought he was going to fire me.
And yet,
he was the one who kept promoting me. And yet, mm-hmm. for some reason in my brain, you know, I wasn't good enough and he was going to find out. And I know that this is really common. I was having a conversation last night with a man who is very senior in his career. He's in his late 50s. And he was telling me he suffers with imposter syndrome too.
There you go. It's global. It's everywhere. It's global. It doesn't have a gender. It's just, and And it's so deeply ingrained. It's really small, playing everything small, and where you cannot really believe and trust that you are capable of doing that. I love that. Thank you so much for raising those questions. And I think a lot of people can now really relate and see where this comes from, or that they have it too. And mm-hmm. you just said something about the label to me before we really jumped on this. Chat here, and said we label us, and I want to maybe give you the chance to really get into why this is dangerous, or what you see in labeling us mm-hmm. as imposters.
Yeah, thank you. This was actually, I think it was an article, it may have been the Harvard Business Review or another, don't quote me, but it was really to say, you know, we need to be very cautious of labels like imposter syndrome. You know, 80% of people who identify as having imposter syndrome are women, mm-hmm. and about 30% of men. And the risk is, it sounds a bit like, you know, back in the 50s, it was hysterical woman syndrome, you know, and women, you know, we put these labels on ourselves. And it's not necessarily helpful, because we can sort of attach ourselves to these labels and go, I have imposter syndrome, which mm-hmm. makes it sound like it's clinical somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And what I want to offer is, and we touched on this a little already, self-doubt is normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in some ways, it's a primeval function, a preservation mechanism. And as we said, it usually occurs when we might be stepping up into a bigger role or taking on a project. And we just need to be mindful not to say, you know, the label, I have imposter syndrome. I'm nervous, yes. You know, and it's normal to be nervous when you try something new. Yeah. Does that make you an imposter? You know, and I don't know if we need that label necessarily. Now, when it's persistent, and we, like I had in the past, I couldn't really accept my success, I think there's definitely some mindset work to be done around developing your inner confidence and recognizing whether you're tipping into a fear-based mind when we're triggered in our lizard mm-hmm. brain, our amygdala,
yeah.
or if we can shift into our prefrontal cortex and our logical thinking, calm brain, you know, yeah. and we all have that power within us.
And you are just touching something. Okay, it's scientific, mm-hmm. and you were also just getting into why this happens or what causes it, because it's obviously it's a process in our brain.
Yeah.
So what really causes this imposter syndrome phase, I would say, because now I don't want to label it anymore.
Yeah. I think, you know, people are used to this language now. Mm-hmm. I think that feeling like we're not good enough, feeling like we haven't earned the success, I think it can stem from early childhood. We all have different drivers, and depending on how we've been raised, we may feel like we lack something. Mm-hmm. And so some people have a perfectionist driver. And, you know, when we have this, nothing's ever really good enough. And perfectionists will often struggle with this imposter syndrome because they perhaps have been raised in such a way that good isn't good enough. And, you know, underneath this can be some very deep, deep topics. And really it's about sort of learning to not let perfection be the enemy of being good enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I forget the phrase exactly. And owning your worth and being able to go, wow, I did a good job.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. And what I just heard by you mentioning also the frontal cortex and the amygdala, and really that this is something that's coming from that brain, and we can however we are developing everything. And you just said, and that's the reason why I mentioned this, is we have this in childhood, so this is something that's imprinted from an early stage, and our brain needs some development after that too, because we learn this and we just get into it so much, so it's okay, or it's it had to lead to that syndrome first, but we can also, now that we know it, also get rid of it or try to manage and handle it. So what is something that you say, how can we diminish it maybe?
Yeah, actually, something that you just said made me think about, you know, I've talked to many people who feel like their imposter syndrome, that kind of drive has led them to a level of success.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually I can name some very famous people who have imposter syndrome, and including Michelle Obama, including Jodie Foster, who thought that they were going to come and take the Oscar away from her because they must have made a mistake.
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They're very famous people.
Yeah. So, you know, and these are people who are at the top of their game. Meryl Streep, you know, yep. Top of their game, you know, really, really
yes.
good. And so it can drive us to a certain level, which is why I mentioned the perfectionism, but it comes at a cost, right? Mm-hmm. And I liken it to, you know, going for a hike. You have a goal and it's at the top of the mountain. And imposter syndrome is like picking up a rucksack and filling it full of rocks of self-doubt and then putting that on your back and trying to climb the mountain.
No!
And you just don't need it because mm-hmm. you have a choice. You know, that is just a way of thinking. It's a way of believing.
Yeah.
And you said something about the conditioning we have in our life. So when we grow up, we start, you know, we have a prescription. We look through life and we're like, this is the way life is.
Mm-hmm.
And what we can do with some of these tools and techniques is help you just to take these glasses off.
Oh, yes.
And maybe just go, I'm going to try a new pair on and actually... I know what I'm doing. You know, this is
absolutely.
Bad. And they've done research and they found that it is not someone's skill set that is the greater predictor of their success,
mm-hmm.
but their confidence and self-belief.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes. Mm-hmm. What you just did was putting on some glasses and switching them. And it reminded me of when we are in dating, in this first phase, when we fall in love, we have some glasses on, you know, it's usually in Germany, we say they are pink. I don't know how that
is. Rose tinted.
Yes, exactly. So why can't we just take off those glasses when we are in our success mode? It's the same thing. We are just in a phase, you know, it's just exactly this. Yeah.
And it's learning exactly that, to say, okay, these old glasses, they're not right for me. I'm looking through the world in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And so we take them off and we try on these new ones, which is like, actually, I'm going to believe in myself and I'm going to make a success of this. And that simple change will get you some really big results,
mm-hmm.
which you asked me a question around how can we start to sort of lessen the impact. Shall I share a few things that we can speak to?
Oh, yes, please. Of course. I think there are a lot of people who are curious about knowing how to get, to lessen that.
Yep. Yeah. So look, there are some fundamentals that mm-hmm. are really important for good mental health and well-being. And I think it's fair to say, you know, our inner critic can get to us more when we're, our imposter syndrome can be worse when we're incredibly stressed and tired.
Yep.
So, you know, ensuring that we get enough sleep, we're having a good diet, we're exercising, those are kind of fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, while we can't change the things that might have shaped us, which might be our past experiences, our life events that may have created some of the ways we're feeling about ourselves, what we can do is focus first on the fundamentals, and then start looking at what are our beliefs. What are the habits that we've got into? So are we focusing on the negative? Are we comparing ourselves to others? Are we in a high stress environment? And then the one that I would love to really dive in with you today
yeah.
is this inner chatter, our self-talk.
Mm, yeah. Who doesn't know it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so they've done studies, and this, if you have a negative inner dialogue, it's very strongly correlated with being, you know, less happy, more stressed, and actually you can really stunt or limit your success because of this kind of negative inner chatter, because it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah. You said the inner chatter, also known as inner critic. This is something that a lot of people put into a role. So really you have the one who's cheering you on within, someone who's playful, someone who's the inner critic. So why does the inner critic come up?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is when you start to do this work, or when I start to do this work with clients, I say, okay, you know, do you notice you have a negative inner dialogue? How do you talk to yourself, you know, particularly under times of stress? And they'll sort of go, oh, yeah, I do. And I say, okay, would you ever talk to anybody else the same way you speak to yourself?
Usually not.
And at that moment, you know, I've done this to hundreds of people now, and they normally look quite shocked and then quite saddened. And they say, no, I would never. I would never speak to anyone else the way I speak to myself. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really sad. But it's really normal, because this is something that's developed again in early childhood. And when I do more work with them, I'll say, do you recognize the voice? And it's not uncommon for it to be the voice of a parental figure.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And so that's okay. No judgment. Just it is what it is. But at least now you have some awareness that you have this inner dialogue, and that actually it's not very kind.
I can imagine when this comes up, it's usually when you shouldn't be doing something, or you haven't been a good child.
Right.
Yes. Oh, wow. But why does this come up when we are good children? You know, it's exactly this, when we are successful. What's the trigger of that? Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we've had this voice our whole life, and we seem to think that this negative voice is the reason we've been successful, because this big stick that we beat ourselves with has led us to be successful. But as I said before, you know, this has been studied, and actually negative self-talk leads to procrastination, self-sabotage, rumination, which is also a trait that can be linked to depression. And it's what powers our imposter syndrome, because you have this voice telling you all the time that you're not good enough, and things are not going, you know, won't go the way you want them to, and usually predicting what other people think of you. And, you know, forecasting the future, which is a magic skill, but I'm pretty sure we don't necessarily have it.
Yes, that's true. I don't have, I cannot look into the future and tell. Maybe if I could, I would win the lottery, but hey, I'm not able to do that. And isn't it funny you mentioned something that is the opinion of someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Hello? This is so we predict the future by the opinion of someone else, which is, to my knowing, not the fact.
Exactly. And that's one of the key things that you've touched on. And so we get this awareness, I have this inner dialogue. Mm-hmm. And then once we know that actually they're predicting the future,
yeah,
or they're telling me what someone else is thinking. Can I know what someone else is thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Is it a fact? No. And so that's part of the work that we can do, raising awareness and then going, hey, that's actually not the voice of truth.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, next time we get into such a phase, ask ourselves, is it true?
Is it
whose opinion is it?
Yes, there's there's a few questions. I think it's by Katie Byron. Is it helpful? Is it true? Is it kind? Mm-hmm. You know, and if we start to challenge our thoughts a little bit around that, we can loosen them a little bit.
Yes, and you also touched on something that I feel is very dangerous. If we tend to go that way, it's also leading to maybe depression. So self-sabotaging and depression, because if you don't follow through with things, you might get the idea of you that you are a loser, and then you go down the rabbit hole, and that's not the way where we want to go, right?
Right.
Yeah. So be cautious of labeling yourself, and knowing that this is only a phase, and really you can do something, create the awareness around that, and then ask yourself the questions. Is it kind? Is it true? whose opinion is it? Whose maybe whose voice is it right now?
Whose voice is it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that.
And I would offer, you know, that to really understand the role of the inner critic, because we're really getting into this topic now, you know, so we've got this inner dialogue, we're noticing it. Now let's maybe give it the label of this inner critic. And, you know, the mission, if you like, of your inner critic is ultimately to protect you and keep you safe. Right? And it was formed in childhood, so maybe some of its ideas are a little bit out there, but, you know, they are determined for you not to fail, not to make a fool of yourself, not to get hurt. And so they will really exaggerate and catastrophize to make sure that you avoid risk at any cost and get you to make you successful, even if it means you working all day and all night.
Which brings me to the idea of our parents only wanted to keep us safe, right? So it's no wonder that we have a parental voice in our head who says this to us. It's maybe not our father or our mother or any person who was really close to us, but it is related to this because they tried to keep us safe. So we are maybe just projecting this on them, maybe. So they had our best in mind. Usually they did. So, and that's so also seeing the inner critic has your best in mind.
Yes. And it's important because I'm sorry to say this, you're not going to get rid of it. It's part of us. And so the objective isn't to get rid of it, but it's just to have a little bit more balance.
Yeah.
So what often happens when I work with my clients is the inner critic has been running the control, you know, your mind. And actually some of my clients will say to me, yeah, I just think I'm being realistic though. I don't think it's an inner critic. Oh. So to them, I just ask them to say, okay, just sit with this question. How does this inner voice impact me? If you have feelings of guilt, unworthiness, inadequacy, or shame, they are signs that it's your inner critic running the show.
Mm-hmm. And not reality. It's not something to be objective on. It's really, so you and that's funny because I don't know if someone sees this right now, but the inner critic creates a facade of still keeping you safe by saying this is an objective perspective right now.
Right.
So, but if you want to catch it, because it's a game, it plays a game with you. And if you want to catch it, then you still have to ask yourself these questions. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Oh, wow. Thank you for that. Because I don't know if a lot of people have this in mind when they think about that. So, yeah.
And so if it's helpful, what we can do now is I can teach you some of the tools that I like to use with my clients just to start what I call inner critic taming.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, right. Exactly. Do you want to share that with us?
I can share a couple of that, if that sounds good.
Yes.
So, you know, at the moment we've started to become aware that, yes, we have this inner dialogue. We've maybe opened the door to the fact that it's not just me, it's who I am. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's a protection mechanism. It's one of hundreds and thousands of thoughts you have in a day. But what we really want to do is now to get to know them really, really well. Mm-hmm. And so I would love for us to do just five parts of this this exercise. So really think about something that gets your inner critic going. So imagine for a lot of people, this might be they've made a mistake.
Oh, yes, of course.
Or they're going to have to give a big presentation to the big boss tomorrow.
Nervous. Oh,
yeah. Now that inner voice pipes up. Oh, you know, probably saying actually you should call in sick, or, you know, you're not going to make it, or the slides aren't perfect. You better do another hour's work, whatever it is. Now, the invitation, the first thing is the what. What is it that they are saying to you? What are the main messages? Can you find any key themes that they like to tell you?
So there's a pattern to it.
Right. And so, you know, that can be, you know, some people have ones really around self-worth. So it might be you're not good enough. You're not going to, you know, it might sound a little harsh, but just identify the key themes. The second part is the when. So I gave two examples, which might be giving a speech or, you know, you've made a mistake, but your inner critic is very personal to you and they know your weak spots, your Achilles heel. So it might be around a mealtime, you know, you feel that you've eaten too much. You might have a critical voice around that. Okay, so become really clear on when they like to talk to you and what are the key messages. Mm-hmm. And then how do they talk to you is the third one. How do they speak? Can you notice any tone of voice? Does it sound like someone you know?
Okay, yeah.
And it may not. If it doesn't, a lot of my friends just say, you know what, it's me, but it's a pretty mean version of me.
Oh my gosh, yes. A devilish one.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Now, the fourth and the fifth part can sort of go together. At this moment, you might have an image in your head when you start to get a sense of the tone of voice and the things that they say. Does any image come into your mind? Mm. So one of my clients had the image of the blue character in Inside Out, I think it was called, where, you know, the blue character was sadness and everything, you know, anytime something good happened, sadness would come in and touch it. And then it would all sort of turn sad. And
oh, so my gosh.
That was her visual.
That's not a nice vision. Nope.
No. And then the final part and the fun part is to give them a name and just have some fun with it.
Oh, wow. Yes. Oh, that's cool. If I think about the blue one. Oh, wow. Yes. Of course, you can make some fun of that.
Yeah. Oh, great. And so my inner critic character, I call the director of doom.
I immediately get a picture.
Right. Yeah. And you know what they're like, right? As soon as they're in charge of my mind, you know, things are not going to go so well. Mm-hmm. They love to talk to me at 4 a.m. when I wake up and they're telling me all the things that I need to be doing, which is quite common. Mm-hmm. And so now you have this, hopefully a picture and this way of identifying that inner voice.
Yeah.
And that's the most powerful tool that I can offer, because once we do that, what we want to do is no longer refer to it as I think, mm-hmm. but we want to say it my inner critic, or use the fun name that you've created.
Yeah.
And start to get some separation.
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea of separating it from you, because this gives you a bit of a relief from it, because it's nothing that you have to identify with. It's not you who is the imposter. It's not you who, it's just something that you take on for a while. And that's the same with the inner critic. It's just this phase where you might be this, and you can really get rid of it, or kind of lessen it, how you put it. Yes.
Yeah, it's almost like saying in front of you are a selection of thought canapes, if you like,
yeah.
And you get to choose which one you're going to take on and eat. You know, you don't have to choose the one that the director of doom is holding up, because you go, actually, I know that one is just full of not very nice things, so we're going to put that to one side. I'm going to choose the thought, the avenue that's going to make me feel much better about myself. And it's, that's the practice. And I have a range of tools that can support you in learning how to identify who's talking and to lessen the impact of that and to switch to that more empowered thought process.
Oh, I love that picture of the buffet. It just gave me this sense of, I wouldn't eat overly roasted piece of bread. It's just if it's too done, if it's then you know it tastes like maybe like an ashtray, and you wouldn't eat that, right? So of course, please choose something different.
That's it. You can almost see it, right? The inner critic, what they're offering you is that it's going to taste bitter, it's going to taste sour, it's not going to, you know, have that beautiful kind of sensation. It's going to fill you up. It's going to do the opposite, you know. Yeah. And so, don't take that avenue. Yeah. And it's right. It's quite, I haven't used that one before, but it's quite a nice visual and a way for us to go, I don't want to eat that. It's full of bad things, like all of those E numbers that we don't want in our body. It's going to keep me awake at night worrying about what I've eaten.
Yes. Go for the strawberry ice cream. That's so great. Thank you so much for sharing, Charlie. I think this gave a great insight of how it impacts us, what imposter syndrome really is, and how we can really manage it, and how it could be that we might not get rid of it, but it can be on the backseat in our car instead of on the driver's seat. So yes. That would be great. Yeah, I love that. And you just mentioned some of the tools, and we have for our listeners, of course, something incredible to give. So your free gift, what is it?
Yes. Yeah, so I have got a giveaway, which is 10 tools to tame your inner critic. And these are a selection of my favorite tools that have honestly changed my life and how I interact with my inner critic. Mm-hmm. And I now have a much more balance in my life. I'm able to notice when my inner critic's getting loud and say, hey, what's going on for me? I must be stressed or worried. And I don't always get it right, but I can employ one of these tools just to get my inner critic to be a little bit quieter, or maybe leave the room for a while, because actually I've got to step into my power and deliver what I'm capable of delivering.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, love it. So we'll be sharing the link to your free gift below so that everyone can grab it. And thank you so much again for being our special guest today and giving so much insight and really something to work with. I really love it, appreciate it. And I know how I'm going to use this for myself. At least the buffet is something that I will use. It's like, okay, no, that's not for me. Yes. I don't like that. That's not my taste. Yeah. So yeah. I'm going to use that, especially because I'm a very sensual person. So great. Thank you so much.
And thank you for having me and for creating this platform. I think it's a fantastic thing you're doing.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you so much. And to our listeners, more sessions will be delivered to your inbox tomorrow. I look forward to joining you in our next session. Until then, don't forget that changes need chances. So give yourself a chance to rise into your power and embody your true self. It's your time to shine.